Welcome back to the Mittner Method. I'm your host, Andrew Mittner, and on today's episode, I'm going to give you my prediction for who is going to win the American Athletic Conference. Firstly, we're going to do a quick recap of last year's results for the conference. And last year, we had SMU pretty much dismantle the entire conference from top to bottom. They ended up winning against Tulane in the AAC championship game, even without their elite quarterback, Preston Stone. And as if you've listened to any of the previous episodes, I've touched base on the SMU team and how they are set up for a big possible season this year. Now, the rest of the conference is glad that they have moved on and transferred to the ACC because if they were in this conference again this year, they would be the prohibited favorite by a wide margin. So the biggest change to the conference this year is going to simply be that Tulane is losing Willie Fritz and his whole staff. Now, that doesn't seem like a big deal to anyone who's not really watching closely the American Athletic Conference, but Tulane has been pretty much a thorn in the back of every contender in this conference for years. Willie Fritz runs a unique offense, and it's always just something to game plan for. It's never an easy game against them. They went to back-to-back AAC championship games, and in 2022, they dismantled and destroyed UCF 45-28. So the real favorite in this conference is Memphis, and they are the media darling by a wide margin. They are viewed as, you know, the biggest threat to make the playoff out of the group of five. Now, I'm all for optimism, and I'm all for anyone who supports that. I just do not see that happening by any stretch of the imagination. And it's not simply because I don't think they're a good team, because I do. As I've written them up, their offense is probably going to be elite level this year. I just think that their regression statistics are alarming. And I do not think that they're going to beat Florida State, and nor do I think they're going to, you know, run the table in the AAC. Now, that doesn't mean that they won't play in the championship game and, you know, possibly win it. I don't believe that the line that they are as the favorite has any real value. You're buying them at their absolute ceiling, and this team hasn't been to a conference championship game since 2019. So I'm not really sold on that. They have some, like I said, regression statistics, you know, whether it's in one score games, fumble luck, you know, turnover margin. I just see all that, you know, coming back down to earth. And I just do not see them, you know, winning the AAC. And I would not bet them at the line they're at. So without further ado, I'm going to give you the reasons behind why I think South Florida has the best chance and is the best value in the AAC to not only make the championship game, but to win it. And the reason is it starts on the offensive side of the ball. They have, in my opinion, the best quarterback in the conference. Now, you might not agree with that, but frankly, I think you're wrong. Byron Brown, as a freshman, was given the reins to do things that freshmen normally do not. They are not trusted in that aspect. I mean, he was 20th in deep attempts percentage, which means they are not afraid to let him throw the ball down the field and let it rip and elevate the offense. And again, if you listen to the AAC quarterbacks episode, one thing that really stands out to me is there were only two quarterbacks last year that recorded 3,000 passing yards and 800 rushing yards. The first one is Heisman Trophy winner Jaden Daniels. The second one, Byron Brown. So when you think of like next level mobile dual threat quarterbacks, which is usually cliche. It's usually anyone who's athletic at the quarterback position is dual threat. I mean, this guy is. I mean, he is a dual threat, and he is a premier dual threat quarterback. And what's even more encouraging is head coach Alex Galesh, who used to be the former offensive coordinator at Tennessee, brought that entire wide open scheme and offense to South Florida, and they flourished last year. Now, we're going to dive into some advanced offensive metrics, and you'll kind of see what I'm talking about. Now, from a success rate standpoint, not that great. 107th in overall success rate, 113th in offensive rushing success rate, 82nd in passing success rate. So that gives you some pause, right? But when it comes to the explosiveness side of it, they're 26th in overall in explosiveness, 8th in rushing explosiveness, 65th in passing explosiveness. That in itself is encouraging, because when you have offenses that are explosive, that means you have athletes who, when in space and given the opportunity, can make big plays. The getting ahead of the chains and the success rate part and that type of discipline, you can improve that year upon year. You can, you know, teach a quarterback or an offense, be like, hey, like sometimes we got to take what the defense gives us so we can get ahead of the chains, so we're not sitting third and long, you know, 50% of the time, right? What you can't teach is a receiver or a running back in space to break two tackles and then just take off for 25 yards. You just can't teach that. You just either have those athletes or you do not. And so when it comes to the returning production side of it, you know, South Florida is 8th in offensive returning production, and their offense last year was 55th in S&P Plus. Now, the only other team in the conference that is comparable to that is Memphis. And nobody else is even comparable on the offensive side of the ball. And then what's, you know, more, even more encouraging than all of that is there are no elite defenses in the AAC. There are none. The best S&P Plus defense last year was Army at 36th overall. And I even take that with a grain of salt, because as most people know, you know, the armed forces, they run a ball control style offense, and it limits the amount of possessions and the amount of time the defense is on the field. So I take that even with a grain of salt. So there are no elite defenses, and there are no elite returning productions this year on the defensive side of the ball for the entire conference. So South Florida, with their offense that is established, has the potential to really go into the upper echelon. And then when you look at it from just their modern tactics, you know, whether or not you have an offense that, you know, is making the type of decisions that here in, you know, 2024 is what we're looking for, like teams who use play action, use motion, you know, use these tactics to leverage the defense into precarious situations. So when we dive into that, you know, South Florida was 7th in play action attempts last year. 47% of their passing attempts had play action built into them. And on those attempts, they were 20th in EPA. So they understand that side and that nuance. Now, from the motion standpoint, they, you know, they weren't fantastic, you know, and they didn't do it a ton. They were 102nd, but they were 64th in EPA, and then, like I said, 102nd attempts. But when you dive also into the other parts of it, you know, from personnel base, they run 11 personnel 82% of the time. That's 31st overall. That is their base offense. So that is what they're going to run. And when it came to passing out of 11 personnel, they're 50th in EPA. But what's a little more, you know, eye-opening is they only ran 12 personnel 2.9% of the time, which is 110th overall, so not a lot. But when they passed the ball out of 12 personnel, they were 10th in EPA. So if you even see that move up to like 7 or 8% 12 personnel this year that they're passing out of, I mean, you could really see this offense transform into even more layered than it already is. And then when you look at the most valuable type of passing attempt, which is a passing attempt that includes motion and play action, they were 54th in overall in attempts at 11.6%, and they were 28th in EPA on those attempts. So they understand that they need to do that. And then when you look at the flip side of that, passing attempts with no motion, no play action, where you're just lining up and letting the defense get set, they were 33rd in those attempts. So they only did that 39% of the time, which, doesn't sound like, oh, well, that's still a lot. Well, yeah, it is still a lot. But they understood that they're not going to be down here like Iowa doing it 75% of the time. So that's a big deal, And so the offense with the potential they have from a freshman quarterback to make a giant leap and, his mechanics and just overall, his base read of the game and improving in the intermediate routes and making, less turnover style plays, they can really take a huge leap on that side of the ball. Now, when we get to the defensive side, it's not good. And there's really no way to, sugarcoat that. They were 116th last year in S&P Plus defense. And this year they're bringing back 95th in returning production from that defense. So you can look at it from two perspectives, right? Okay, well, that defense was terrible, and there's not a lot of players coming back from that defense, so that's great. Maybe we can improve upon that, right? Or you can look at it like, okay, well, how do we know that whoever's replacing those players last year are going to be any better? Well, let's take a look at some of the underlying metrics. So when I dive in to the underlying metrics, there's a lot of positives here, okay? Let's just take a look at the success rates. South Florida's defense was 42nd in overall defensive success rate. They were 44th in defensive rushing success rate allowed and 48th in defensive pass rate success rate allowed. So what that tells me is they're normally ahead of the chains. And that is what usually kills a defense, is being behind the chains. And so then I look at, can this defense make chaotic style plays? Can they cause havoc and really, be a turning point in the game? And they sure were. They were 25th in overall havoc rate, and they were 18th in front seven havoc rate, and then they were 52nd in defensive back havoc rate for the secondary. So that's really, those are all positives. So the only thing that's negative is they were absolutely dead last in allowing explosive plays. Now, then you look at their 126th in rushing explosiveness allowed and 129th in passing explosiveness allowed. So the only positive from that is they're not going to be any worse than that this upcoming year. Even if they just improve incrementally on allowing explosive plays and keep a baseline of where they are in the success rate and the havoc rate, the defense is going to be infinitely better. And that's the thing. You do not need this defense to be elite level. They just need to be better than what they were last year, approaching average. And that's going to be good enough in this conference. It's going to be good enough by a wide margin. So I'm going to go to the regression stats. So there's not really going to be a ton of positive regression coming their way, but they're not really going to see a ton of negative regression either. Fumble luck, they were plus 1.39, which is 44th overall. They're 2-0 in one score games, and their turnover margin was plus 3, so 43rd overall. So they're not going to see, the type of regression like a Nebraska is going to see or something like that. But you know what? They're also not going to see a ton of negative regression, because it's not like they were plus 17 and turnover margin and 5-1 and one score games, So they're just going to kind of be what they are. It'll probably be similar to this, maybe a little worse, but that's not going to be, something that's not a red flag to me. So after saying all that, the last thing we're going to take a look at is going to be the schedule. Now, what stands out to me is this is a front-loaded schedule. They're going to have Alabama, Miami, and Tulane within the first 5 weeks. So that is going to be a ton of pressure. Now, nobody expects them to beat Alabama. Nobody expects them to beat Miami. They surely can go in and beat Tulane and Tulane. It will be a tough game, though. With that being said, it will be tough. Now, the great thing about it being front-loaded is this is going to give them the chance to build the confidence in their team and to see how good they really are. And then the beauty of it is after they play at Tulane, they get a bye week, and then the biggest game of the year is going to be Memphis, and it's going to be in South Florida in Raymond James Stadium. So that game is going to pretty much tell the entire story of their season. If they can split the Tulane and Memphis game and go 1-1, the rest of the schedule is, I don't want to say a cakewalk because I don't want to be rude to these other teams, but these are games they should win. UAB, FAU, Navy, Charlotte, Tulsa, Rice. So, you know, 6-2 is more than likely going to get them into the conference championship game. And to get to the conference championship game, they're plus 250. And then to win the conference, they're plus 650. So those odds, they have a ton of value, in my opinion, because you check a lot of the boxes you need. You have the best quarterback in the conference. And if you don't agree with that, you cannot say he's not top three. So you've got the quarterback, right? You've got the coaching staff and the continuity. You've got the returning production from a unit that is going to be borderline elite, which is their offense. And then all the tough games you have are winnable. The games you need to win in this conference are winnable. And you get, you know, a good split. You know, the Memphis game at home, Tulane on the road. I would rather play Tulane on the road than Memphis on the road, if we're being honest, simply because Tulane's going through an entire coaching staff change and the returning production is extremely lacking. So when I look at it from that perspective, I feel as if South Florida is being extremely underlooked and underrated, and you're going to get these values. And it's not saying that, you know, they could get to the conference championship game, and whoever they play, they're not going to be more than a 4-point underdog, more than likely. And you never know. You could have the likes of, you know, when Cincinnati played Tulsa in the AAC championship game, and nobody saw that coming. So you could see Memphis, they could lose a couple games, and they might not make it, and they just, you know, the negative regression comes in, and all of a sudden you're sitting there, and you've got, you know, you're holding a South Florida ticket at plus 650, and they could be, you know, a favorite, a 3 or 4 point favorite. And then you're feeling really good. So that's going to be it for today. And those are all the reasons why I have South Florida playing in the American Athletic Conference championship game and winning it. And as always, I will have an article correlating to this episode on my website at themittnermethod.com. It'll be out in probably a day or so. So if you want to go in and read and look at some of the stats that correlate with the article that, you know, for the team, you're more than welcome to do that. And I'm going to continue down this road over the next couple weeks. We have about 30 days until opening weekend. And we're going to try to do 2 or 3 of these a day just so we can get as much content in as possible. We have a lot we want to touch, a lot we want to cover. There's a lot of value in areas that are being overlooked, in my opinion. And, we're just going to let it rip from here on out. So, as always, thanks for listening. If you want to reach out to me and talk about the process, or if you have suggestions or comments or anything like that, you can always reach me on Twitter. And other than that, you know, I'll catch you on the next one. Take care.